Welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us once again this week. My name is Tony Colombo here in studio with our producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews. Bo, how are you, my friend?
Buddy, I'm doing fantastic, and we finally got to go to a shooting event.
Yeah.
I had so much fun at the Shoot for the Troops for the Joshua Chamberlain Society, and I can't thank you enough for coming out there. And you brought a case of shells.
Hey,
that was,
man,
awesome.
I was ready to shoot. I wanted to keep shooting. You were the one ready to go. I was just getting warmed up.
What a great event. Man, it was so much fun.
We had a lot of fun, and what an awesome event. What an awesome organization. Most people, I think, are familiar with the Joshua Chamberlain Society. If you're not and you're looking for a charity that helps troops, that helps veterans, particularly veterans that have been seriously wounded while serving, that's what the Joshua Chamberlain Society is all about. And I was very proud to be a part of that event. Bo, I know you were too. It was great
absolutely.
To go out there. We were reminded immediately, or at least I was, how rusty I was with my shotgun.
Although still a better shot than I was.
You
were fantastic.
We were feeling a lot better. I was horrible at the beginning, but we were starting to get at least moderate by the end of the afternoon. But boy, oh boy, I was rusty.
I didn't get skunked on any round. They sent 25 clays out each round, and I didn't get skunked on any of them. But boy, there was one I just got one or
yeah.
two.
I had never done the scatter shot like that before. We don't have those kind of resources, so I'm used to like saying pull. The clay goes out and you shoot it, maybe Annie Oakley style if you're competing with some friends or whatever. But having to shoot twice and then try to reload and then shoot as it's just going all over the place, and I did not have the pattern memorized at all.
They were coming from six directions, man.
I was just
all over.
Completely confused. I'm like, I would have never even seen it. It'd land on the ground, and I'd have been like, "Did one go?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, it was over there." I never even saw it. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that event as we go through the show and today's podcast. We're also going to talk to. We had a great opportunity to catch up with Corporal Todd Nicely at that event, and we got to compete with guys like John Mabry, the former St. Louis Cardinal player and coach. So we're going to talk more about that event as we go through the show today, and as I said in the podcast a little bit later on. Right now, though, I wanted to get on the phone with us, as we do every week, and start the show with our good friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Cannot complain. I'm going to do two things at once here. A little bit later on in the show, we are going to have a guest on who specializes in and it has put out some information about all the different laws in the different states, in the different communities all throughout the country. So you know that where you're at or where maybe you're traveling, the gun laws. So if you're going to be traveling with your gun, or if you're maybe thinking about moving to a particular area, you can get all of this information about the gun laws throughout the country. And Aaron, that's kind of the roots of this radio show. We at the beginning of this show, we used to talk a whole lot about things like gun laws, and particularly knowing the importance of knowing the laws. If you're going to put a gun in your car and you're going to go on vacation, you're going to travel a long distance, it's important to know. And people would be surprised at how different the laws can be just a few miles apart from each other. So you're kind of an expert in that area as well. Highlight the importance of that type of knowledge, and we'll be able to provide some of that a little bit later on too.
Right. So, you know, we have Illinois right across the river. So, you know, that's always been a big factor where we couldn't carry over there at all. And then they kind of dialed it back to, well, if you have a concealed carry permit from Missouri, you can concealed carry in your vehicle. But once you go outside of your vehicle, you know, you can't have it. So Illinois is the biggest factor for us on the Missouri or on the St. Louis side of the state. When you go over to the Kansas City side, you know, Kansas is great. Oklahoma is fine. Arkansas is fine. But, you know, Illinois is always an issue, at least for me and a lot of people I know, because we find ourselves over there for one reason or another.
And there's no such thing, like, people think that if they have their Missouri CCW, if they get pulled over in New York, they can say, oh, see, I got all my paperwork right here. That paperwork's not going to do you any good in New York.
Yeah, and New York is just a whole New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts. That's just absolute insanity. I could not imagine living up in any of those border states. And you hear about people like that went to New York and their flight got diverted in there, and they happened to have a firearm with them that was legal in the state they came from, was legal in the state they're going to, but because they got diverted into New York because of weather, now all of a sudden they're a criminal. Or they have a high capacity magazine, even though it's empty, and now that's an issue. So, I believe, John Stossel, was that right? John Stossel?
John Stossel, that's exactly right. John Stossel.
Did a special on that very topic about, you know, going into these highly regulated states, specifically the Northeast. Myself, I've been found, like, when I go to New Jersey, we go to Philadelphia, and we've flown into New Jersey because it's cheaper by several hundred dollars a person to fly into New Jersey. And you can have your firearm, you can have the high capacity magazine, because your journey does not begin and end in that state. But you cannot have the hollow points that go in the gun. Hmm. And it's like, what's the point of even bringing the gun? And, you know, I'm not going to ship a box of hollow points out to a friend's house or to a family's house for me to get. You know, that's just too much prior planning. And so it's just a mess. So these laws are really set up where they just kind of discourage you in some areas from even carrying.
Yeah,
no, I've never had a problem being pulled over with a firearm or whatever. Aaron, have you or anybody you know, and what happened during that? Let's say traffic stop.
Oh boy, here Aaron's got a couple great stories. Strap in.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
the best one was me and my wife. We were coming back from Lake of the Ozarks. We got pulled over, and you know, kind of a casual pullover, if that can be a thing. Like, he pulled behind us, and he just kind of motioned for me to pull over. No lights or nothing. So I, you know, pull over. I'm like, what's this guy want? And he walks up. He's like, yeah, I don't know if you were on the 65 side or the 50 side of the line, but you were doing 70 mile an hour. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you got your driver's license on you. Now, I always, when I get pulled over, which is very rare, I think this is the last time I got pulled over, I had my driver's license, my CCW permit, proof of insurance, you know, and I just handed it all to him at once. And he looks through it, and he sees I have a CCW permit. He's like, do you have any guns in the vehicle? And my wife look at, you know, we look at one another, and I go, yeah. And he goes, where are they? And I go, well, I've got a, you know, Glock in my door. I got a Glock on my hip. I have like a center fold down like 6 feet in the front of my pickup truck, and I had a Glock
right
in there. And then my wife had her shield and her revolver. And so I tell him, you know, about those. And he's like, do you have any others? And I was like, well, on the back seat of my pickup truck, I've got my 12 gauge and my AR-15. He's like, I got a really important question. And I'm like, sure, what's up? And he's like, do you have to reach it near any of those firearms to get your driver's license? I was like, no, I don't. He goes, where's your driver's license? I said, it's in your hands. So, at this point, my wife gives me a business card, and I give him a business card. And then he goes, oh, they got it.
Makes sense now. Yeah.
Yeah. What can I get a blue label Glock for? And I'm like, oh, well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it just goes to show that you need to know the laws and the rules, especially if you're going to be traveling. Even if you're not traveling long distances, if you're going in and out of zip codes, essentially, you know, it's good to know that information. We're going to talk to Jacob Paulson from Concealed Carry Inc. a little bit later on the show and get some of those some of that information from him. So I'm looking forward to that. Aaron, in the few minutes that we have left here, what's the latest at Southern Armory?
Got more ARs coming in, 10 more, so you can get those. Glocks, I lied to everybody last week. We had one Glock 19 make it to the wall.
Yeah, you said you didn't think any of them would make it. That's funny. Yeah. One made it to the wall.
It was there for 2 minutes.
How long was it there?
By the end of business, it was gone.
So not even, didn't even spend the night on the wall.
Nightfall.
That's funny.
I walk into the shop, you know, and I'm heading to the back to fix some guns, and some guy's up there talking about this Glock 19 and how he doesn't know if it's the right one. Maybe he'll come back in a few days. He's got to get his license, and he's got to get this and that. And I just looked at him, and I said, hey, man, I go, I got news for you. That will not be here by the close of business. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, that gun will not be here by the close of business today. Oh, I'm surprised there's even one on the wall. And my wife goes, yeah, I am a little too. She said, well, we ended up actually getting like six or seven of them. We got the initial four or five from one wholesaler, and then another wholesaler kicked us some. So we ended up with one on the wall. And I was like amazed. Couldn't believe it. So ammo was flowing. We have people coming in going, you have ammo? And it's like, yep, sure do. 9, 40, 45, 5.56, 223, 22 long rifle, 308. We've got, you know, we even got some 380, and 380 has been historically hard to even get right now, but we've been getting it in. 38 special, 357 Magnum is still eluding us. We had an interesting gun come in right around like 5 o'clock, 4:30 on Wednesday. And I was going to do a live stream, but I was like, I'm not going to mess with this. Let's just get this gun running. A gentleman went to a farm and home store. We're not going to name any specific names, and said, hey, I've got a model 627 something or another. It's really bad. I don't even know what it is. It's a 38 special is what it is. It's a little J-frame revolver. And the guy goes, yep, these are the shells you need right here. And gave him 38 super. The guy got them to fit somehow, and then got to shoot the gun twice. And then on the third time, pulled the trigger, and everything seized up. The primer was blown back into the back of the frame of the firearm, and so I got that out of the way. And then now I'm trying to figure out what's up in the forcing cone. Bore scoped it, and there's no bullet in there, but it's just so full of stuff that, you know, can't get it to rotate. So that's going to be a project as well.
You know, I you should put some of that on the Facebook page. We've talked about the Facebook page, the Southern Armory Facebook page many times, a great place to go to get information, watch videos about cleaning guns and building guns and all that stuff. We got to wrap it up, Aaron, but if people want to find you, take advantage of that ammo that you have in stock, how can people find Southern Armory?
Yeah, so you can come in and see us at Southern Armory. We're located at 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44. Southern Armory on Facebook, Second Amendment News Podcast on Facebook, and of course, SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that's Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, thanks as always for your time. We'll talk to you same time next week.
All right. Talk to you again. Bye.
You bet. All right. Let's take a quick break. Like I said, we'll talk to Jacob Paulson a little bit later in the show about getting some knowledge about the different conceal and carry gun laws throughout the country. And we'll check in with Sheriff Dave Marshak, the sheriff of Jefferson County, when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. I want to remind you that we put out two podcasts of this show every week. We put out the radio show podcast that you're listening to right now every Friday, so you can actually get the show before it airs on the weekends. And then on Monday, we put out a podcast exclusive. It's a little deeper conversation that we have each and every week that you can only get by downloading that podcast. You can get both podcasts just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app. Because once you get the radio.com app, you can not only get the podcasts of this and every other show on the station, but you can also stream the station 24/7, and you can rewind live radio with the new Radio Rewind feature. A lot of cool stuff there on the radio.com app, so go and check that out. And in fact, when we do our podcast exclusive this week, we are going to be talking to Mike Marfell, the fisherman, about some of the changes in the weather and the seasons and how it affects fishing and his latest experiences in the tournament that I think he was just in at the Lake of the Ozarks. And so we're going to talk a whole lot about fishing with Mike Marfell on the podcast exclusive. And anytime we're talking about fishing here on the show, it's brought to you by Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton. them the perfect place to stock up your tackle box, whether it be for the big catfish gear, bass and crappie lures, spoonbill, snagging needs, live baits, anything that you need to make sure you are ready to go out on your next fishing trip. They have you covered at Bluff City Outdoors. Learn more and check them out at BluffCityOutdoors.com. Right now, as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us on the line is our friend, the Sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, is back on the show. Sheriff, thanks for your time today. How's it going?
Good day. No complaints. I hope all you guys are doing well.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I wanted to ask you right off the bat, there's obviously some issues I want to talk to you about, but I've often wondered this, and I've said a million times to myself, I'm going to ask Sheriff next time he's on this question, next time he's on, because it's kind of an evergreen thing, and I never get to it, so I'm going to lead with it this time. What is the difference between, obviously, you're an elected official serving as sheriff, but besides that, when it comes to just the job of law enforcement, what are the biggest differences between being a sheriff and being a chief of police?
I think probably the biggest one is I'm not subservient to a county executive or a leadership council that I truly represent the people that I serve. I'm an elected official, as you said. Every 4 years that comes up, this cycle, I am unopposed, so I'll be serving Jefferson County another 4 years. But I will tell you that the beauty of my position, despite the fact that I have to run a campaign, is that, again, I have an opportunity to talk about law enforcement in a different way, share my opinions and insight on law enforcement, and it doesn't have to be vetted through a mayor or somebody else. So we truly represent the people that we serve in this capacity, and I think it's a great opportunity for people to learn about the sheriff's office and the sheriffs that serve in the state of Missouri and around this country, because they are responsible for protecting the rights of people and certainly the Second Amendment, and protect the Constitution. And that's not something you hear a lot of police chiefs talk about sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And do your office, sheriff deputies and a standard, you know, police officer basically do the same things? It's just a different way that particular area handles their law enforcement, or is there a difference in the job? Is there different responsibilities for a sheriff's department and a police department?
There is, you know, I mean, we're kind of unique because not only do we have, are we a full service law enforcement agency, we're also responsible for things like civil process, prisoner transport. We run a 334 bed jail facility. And so we do have additional responsibilities outside of what's typically thought of in terms of law enforcement. So we've got a wide range of responsibilities, and we're the primary law enforcement agency for Jefferson County.
Gotcha.
I got a question for you, Sheriff. Were you the little boy that when somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up, did you say a police officer? Or did you say, seriously, I mean, did you have that in your mind early on in life?
I was always drawn to the position, for sure. I've always been involved in service, and law enforcement has really given me an opportunity to do a lot of different things. I served in different roles and capacities, whether it would be on SWAT team or in the Detective Bureau. And, for me, I have no regrets. It's been a great experience over the last almost 30 years now.
And who inspires you, and who looks up to you, or who do you look up to in your field?
Well, you know, I have a lot of mentors, and I think it kind of depends on what the topic is. I learn from so many different people at different times, and I think it's healthy to, you know, look at it in that perspective. I think we always have to be willing to learn and be open to take on new ideas and new challenges. So I continue to be, in many ways, a learning sheriff or a learning police officer.
Right.
So, Sheriff, we saw another debate this week, and obviously politics is always influencing almost every aspect of life these days. But police reform has been a big topic throughout this presidential debate and throughout 2020. As you watch these debates and we go through this election season, do you, in your opinion, how much influence does a presidential election have on here in the middle of America, in a place like Jefferson County, how much does a presidential election affect your day-to-day job at all or tremendously?
Well, I think the look, let's be honest. I think the results of this election are going to be huge. This is one of the most important elections in our history. You know, we are going from a situation in the past. I think that we had some divisive politics, and it created an atmosphere where the police were the bad guys. And I think moving forward, we need to elect a president that supports police. I believe it's kind of the foundation of our democracy. We have to have law and order. We have to have rule of law. And I think this is a very important election.
Go ahead, Bo.
I think that a conversation that I had with the Major K Squad, Steve Lewis, one of the board members over there, your department is part of the Major K Squad, yeah?
Yeah, I know Steve. I'm on the board of directors as well.
He and I had a conversation, and it bugs me now because now we're not even seeing riots or looting or things going on the news, because it's like the news agencies are just done with them. But when news pundits get on and they go, 99% of police officers are good, and I actually thought about that. 1% of police officers are not bad. It's not even one full percent. It's got to be like the coronavirus, like a quarter or a hundredth of a percent of bad cops, because like you were drawn to the field, you wanted to protect and serve, and that's how you did it. Would you agree that it's way less than 1% of bad actors out there?
I agree. I think, look, there's so many good police officers out there sacrificing every single day to serve their community. Yep. And I believe it, and I work with them. I've worked with them not only in our organization, but in other organizations throughout the area and across the country. So I'm going to agree with you, Bo, 110%. I think there is a very small component of law enforcement, and as leaders, we need to take an aggressive approach, figure out who they are, and when opportunity presents itself, and to rid our organizations of those people. And I think every CEO of a law enforcement agency across this country would agree that needs to be done. I think moving forward with the Missouri Post Commission, we had a meeting earlier this week. One of the things that we're going to tackle is problem police officers and the fact that throughout the state of Missouri, there still is not a comprehensive or even a requirement for a background investigation before a law enforcement agency hires a police officer. And I think that's something over the next 6 weeks we're going to try and tackle and give some recommendations to the director of the Department of Public Safety to implement those changes to make sure that we can become even more professional than we are.
And you know what? It's because police officers are human beings. And yeah, there's some bad people that are police officers, because there's bad people in every single walk of life. In every
industry. Or some people just having a bad day.
Yeah, in every industry you go into, there's going to be a small minority of bad people. And it's the job of every industry to try to root those people out and not let them have influence, you know, for their selfish reasons or whatever they're up to. And it's there's bad people in the communications, and there's bad people in the media, and there's bad people that are part of different corporations. And that's just the human experience. And it's your job to try to limit the influence that those bad people have. It's no different than anywhere else.
I agree. We will always have, look, we're talking about the human element. We will always have challenges. You will always have questionable police shootings. You'll never admit that, because we're talking about humans making decisions in split seconds. There's a lot of external and internal factors that contribute to that. So I think you'll always have that. But I think, you know, from the flip side of that coin is we have a responsibility as leaders to make sure we're hiring good quality people to serve our communities. And, you know, what I know is if I hire bad people, eventually they do bad things. And so I think it's important moving forward that we, you know, vet the process a little bit more comprehensively and really try to recruit quality candidates and help departments across the state to improve upon that.
Sheriff, only got a couple minutes left, but I want to give you a chance to give an example of some of the ideas that of police reform that you would be able to get behind. We hear a lot of ideas all the way to the extreme of defund the police and send therapists on 911 calls instead of police officers, which is ridiculous. Are there some measures that you could get behind?
Without a doubt, I think. You know, again, as I shared, there needs to be some additional checks and balances in place for new recruits and new hires. We need to stop some troubled employees from jumping from organization to organization. I think a number of things that can be done for that. I think when we talk about defunding the police, I think so many people have figured out that they cannot look through law enforcement lens in a myopic view or very short-sighted, because these are real issues. These are big problems. And if you start to defund police, you take away, there's going to be consequences, and the consequences are going to be real. And they're going to be felt in terms of response times and the type of quality that you want. I think moving forward, we're going to have to invest more in police if you're wanting quality, not less.
That is Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Sheriff, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks for your time, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Back at you. All right, we need to take another quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk to Jacob Paulson from the Concealed Carry Incorporated. He's got, is it a book, Bo? Right? It's a book.
He's got a lot of stuff. He's got a book. He's got a great website as well.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to him about all the different laws, the Second Amendment laws throughout the country, and how important it is to know that stuff, especially if you are traveling at all. So don't go anywhere. We'll talk to Jacob Paulson when we get back. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Little Van Halen music there for you. Shocking, Bo. I don't know how big of a Van Halen fan you are, but I was shocked by the news. I knew Eddie had been sick, and you know he battled with throat cancer, was pretty well documented, but didn't realize that he was in the condition, I guess, that he was, and that was some sad news this week about.
I've been wearing my spandex ever since I heard the news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Multicolored. No, he influenced my life as a child. I mean, as a teenager, man, that was Van Halen. Was Van Halen, for crying out loud?
Yeah,
so,
no kidding.
Big loss there, but nice touch, Chad.
Yeah, we're going to be, don't forget about our podcast exclusive. I want to remind folks that we have the two podcasts every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday. Podcast exclusive goes out on Monday. And this week on the podcast exclusive, we're going to be talking fishing with our buddy Mike Marfell. And we're going to be talking about how much time we still have to enjoy the great outdoors in 2020. As you know, the seasons are changing and things like that. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. Got to protect yourself. And Razorback Armory is a full-service firearm shop. They strive to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. If you want to customize it, these are the boys. RazorbackArmory.com. Get directions and information there and tell them Bo sent you when you go in to Razorback Armory.
And now, as I mentioned, we are going to bring into the conversation Jacob Paulson from Concealed Carry, Inc. And Jacob, we appreciate your time today. It's great to talk with you. How's it going?
Doing great. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, you bet. We were just talking a little bit off the air before we got started here. There's so many different directions that we can go in. Here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, we have talked many times throughout the years of this show about how important it is to know your Second Amendment rights, and particularly to know the various gun laws. Just because we're here, obviously, in Missouri, in St. Louis, and just because you have your concealed carry permit for the state of Missouri, that doesn't mean that you can take a road trip and travel all over the country with your gun. You might get into some trouble if you don't realize the various laws while you're traveling. And that's kind of your focus in some of the stuff that you've put together, the book, the website, the app. So I'll let you take it from there. How important in your eyes is it that that people who love the Second Amendment have this knowledge so they don't get themselves in any kind of trouble?
Now, I consider it mission critical. I think that what we see is a lot of gun owners who feel like, well, you know, the Second Amendment is my permit or it is my right. And while certainly, you know, I'm a true constitutionalist, in my opinion, the Second Amendment should be interpreted to mean that we can all order, you know, Gatling guns from the Sears catalog and have them delivered to our doorstep. That's obviously not the actual case. And so if we want to be responsible citizens, we want to advocate for whatever it is we want to advocate for, we need to follow the laws that are in place, whether we agree with them or not. And gun laws, it happens to be, varies enormously from state to state. And I'm speaking specifically about the laws that regulate the possession and use of a gun. Self-defense law is actually quite similar from state to state. That's maybe a different topic. But gun law, the laws that determine when and how you can possess a gun, that just varies enormously.
Go ahead,
well, I love the name of the book, Legal Boundaries by State, the Travel Guide for American Gun Owners. It's available on your website. And somebody sent me a link to it, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, we have got to talk to this guy. Then I go to your website, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you've got so much great information for anybody that has questions. You had not active shooter training, but you have shooter training videos that are on there. Very thorough. So congratulations on a very thorough website for anybody that supports the Second Amendment. But how long ago did you guys come up with this idea for legal boundaries by state?
Yeah, so as a company, concealedcarry.com, you know, we've been around for a little over a decade. And we for better or for worse, we determined that we would be the destination resource for American gun owners. So anything you think you should be able to find on a website called concealedcarry.com, we attempted to have that there. And so we've had for some time legal resources and legal reference material. You know, for many years, you've been able to go to the website and just, you know, click on laws, click on Missouri, and get a summary of Missouri gun laws. But, you know, for better or for worse, people sometimes need a resource that's not a website, whether they need a mobile app, which we also have. But the book was an interesting one because we were talking to a lot of customers who said, well, do you just have a book? Like, do you have a way you can just print this? And for one, that maybe is helpful because a lot of people are traveling and they're in a place where they don't have internet service and they still need to be able to reference the material when they're crossing state lines in the back countries of, you know, West Virginia or something, or Kansas. I was in Kansas last weekend. So they need to be able to reference those gun laws. And so the book became a necessity dictated by the customers. And we released the first issue in May 2019, so a little over a year ago.
Jacob, is it state lines? Is it county lines? Like, how often can gun laws change as you're, you know, traveling on a highway? I mean, can it literally change every 10 minutes if you're crossing into different counties?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So probably the key to answering this question is understanding the concept of a firearm preemption law. So firearm preemption law is the term we use to refer to a state statute that effectively prevents local jurisdictions like cities and counties from passing additional incremental laws that cause them to have differing gun laws than the rest of the state. And so some states have a firearm preemption law in place. For example, you guys are in Missouri. In Missouri, there is a preemption statute in place. The only thing that's excluded is open carry. So a local jurisdiction in Missouri can regulate open carry, but the city of St. Louis cannot regulate anything else related to guns because there's a state statute that says they can't. So for the most part, the majority of states have firearm preemption laws in place that generally create what is mostly a uniform set of gun laws for an entire state. That's not always the case. Some famous examples that I'll point out that most people are probably aware of are places like Chicago. Chicago has enormous variance in gun laws from the rest of the state of Illinois. Yeah. And New York City would be another one. All the major, I think there's seven counties in the city of New York. So all of those also have some massive variance in gun laws from the rest of the state of New York. So there are some states where there is no preemption law, or preemption laws are effectively discounted or you know, not observed. But for the most part, state laws are pretty uniform.
Jacob Paulson is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and it's shows like ours here in the Midwest on two different radio stations to get the word out about these things, about Second Amendment and what laws are changing, what they're trying to change. And on your website, you also have podcasts. So I think we're part of the same team. You've got the Concealed Carry podcast, the Firearm Trainers podcast, Off-Duty, On-Duty podcast, which I think is intriguing. And the other one I like is Not Your Average Gun Girls podcast. Probably something for everybody, but your website is very thorough with information. And again, I mentioned the videos. So much I learned, and I've been around firearms all my life. So hats off to you guys for doing a great job. You said you've been around over a decade. Were you at the beginning of this project, concealedcarry.com?
Yep. I'm the founder. So I've been here since day one. And initially, we were just a training organization. We had a number of instructors across varying states. And today, that part of our business is about 50 instructors strong in about 25 states. But we've evolved considerably. In 2015, we added the e-commerce part of our business. We started selling product. Today, we now warehouse and ship about 600 products that people can order on our website. And then in 2016, we really launched the media portion of our business, which is probably what we're most known for. You know, it's the podcast that you mentioned, the YouTube channel, all the video content and the articles and all that kind of stuff.
All great.
Jacob,
all great stuff.
I can't help but ask you the political question and, you know, in a polarized election season that we're in right now. How important is it for people to have the knowledge of what different candidates might think about Second Amendment rights and the changes they may make to them? How important is it to get out there and vote to make sure that you support your, you know, to keep your Second Amendment rights?
Yeah, you need to vote. You better vote. I think that there's some misinformation out there, generally speaking, by the populace relative to what the president can do to affect gun rights. Mm. In some ways, we're wrong in some things we say, and we're right in other things we say, but a really kind of timely example is the passing of a recent Supreme Court justice, right? So the next president's going to put in another Supreme Court justice. In the 4 years Trump has been in office, he's appointed the same number of justices to the same Supreme Court as Obama did in his 8 years in office. So there's enormous impact on the Second Amendment rights by being president, primarily through what you do with the Supreme Court. The major inroads, the major progress we've made relative to the way the Second Amendment is defined and interpreted have come all out of the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, for those who don't know, there's not that many federal gun laws. You have 1934 NFA, you have 1968 Firearm Regulation Act, and you have 1986 Firearm Owner Protection Act. There are basically three federal gun laws on the books. There's not that many. The majority of the things that determine what the Second Amendment does and does not mean come out of the Supreme Court. We have the Heller decision, we have the Heller 2 decision, we have the McDonald decision, and we have some things that are even more recent than that. So make no mistake, the next president will have significant impact on the Second Amendment because of their control and power to appoint people or nominate people to the Supreme Court.
Jacob, we're almost out of time. I got to remind people to check out the website, concealedcarry.com. The book is Legal Boundaries by State. And real quick, in just about 60 seconds, tell people about the app if that's something that they want to get.
Yeah, you need to download our app. It's free. concealedcarry.com/app, or just go into the App Store or Google Play and search for Concealed Carry. It'll be in the top three results. The full name of the app is Concealed Carry Gun Tools. But the app is free. It has no ads in it. You can access all of our articles, all of our podcasts you can listen to right there in the app. You can access almost all of our legal reference information and material. So most of the information that's in the book we previously discussed is also in the app. Also in the app, of course, you can shop our store, but you can pull up reciprocity maps. You can create customized reciprocity maps. If some of your listeners may have multiple permits, maybe they have their Missouri permit, they also have a Florida or a Virginia or Arizona or Utah permit, you can put all that information. It'll spit out your reciprocity map. And one feature that a lot of people don't know about that's in that app is you can actually search for gun-related businesses near you.
Wow.
So we have now a little over 90,000 businesses in that directory. So it'll pull up your location. It'll say, hey, here are the gun stores, gun ranges, gunsmiths, and gun-free zones near you. And so I think we have now, of those 90,000 businesses in there, there's like 70,000 are gun-free zones, businesses that prohibit guns. So that's quite the resource, all in your pocket for free. So
no,
yeah,
kidding.
Go download that now.
That is tremendous. That is a ton of information. And we appreciate your time, Jacob Paulson. Again, you can get information about the app and the podcasts and the book and everything at concealedcarry.com. Jacob, thanks for your time. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate all you do.
You bet. Thank you. All right, that's going to do it for another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. If you missed anything, don't forget to download our podcast. You can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app. And don't forget to also download this week's podcast exclusive when it comes out on Monday. For our producer, Chad Ellis, and my partner, Beau Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Years of this show about how important it is to know your Second Amendment rights, and particularly to know the various gun laws. Just because you have, we're here obviously in Missouri and St. Louis, and just because you have your concealed carry permit for the state of Missouri, that doesn't mean that you can take a road trip and travel all over the country with your gun. You might get into some trouble if you don't realize the various laws while you're traveling. And that's kind of your focus in some of the stuff that you've put together, the book, the website, the app. So I'll let you take it from there. How important in your eyes is it that that people who love the Second Amendment have this knowledge so they don't get themselves in any kind of trouble?
Now, I consider it mission critical. I think that what we see is a lot of gun owners who feel like, well, you know, the Second Amendment is my permit or it is my right. And while certainly, you know, I'm a true constitutionalist, in my opinion, the Second Amendment should be interpreted to mean that we can all order, you know, Gatling guns from the Sears catalog and have them delivered to our doorstep. That's obviously not the actual case. And so if we want to be responsible citizens, we want to advocate for whatever it is we want to advocate for, we need to follow the laws that are in place, whether we agree with them or not. And gun law, as it happens to be, varies enormously from state to state. And I'm speaking specifically about the laws that regulate the possession and use of a gun. Self-defense law is actually quite similar from state to state. That's maybe a different topic. But gun law, the laws that determine when and how you can possess a gun, that just varies enormously.
Go ahead, Bob. Well, I love the name of the book, Legal Boundaries by State, The Travel Guide for American Gun Owners. It's available on your website. And somebody sent me a link to it, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, we have got to talk to this guy. Then I go to your website, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you've got so much great information for anybody that has questions. You had not active shooter training, but you have shooter training videos that are on there. Very thorough. So congratulations on a very thorough website for anybody that supports the Second Amendment. But how long ago did you guys come up with this idea for legal boundaries by state?
Yeah, so as a company, concealedcarry.com, you know, we've been around for a little over a decade. And we for better or for worse, we determined that we would be the destination resource for American gun owners. So anything you think you should be able to find on a website called concealedcarry.com, we attempted to have that there. And so we've had for some time legal resources and legal reference material. You know, for many years, you've been able to go to the website and just, you know, click on laws, click on Missouri, and get a summary of Missouri gun laws. But, you know, for better or for worse, people sometimes need a resource that's not a website, whether they need a mobile app, which we also have. But the book was an interesting one because we were talking to a lot of customers who said, well, do you just have a book? Like, do you have a way you can just print this? And for one, that maybe is helpful because a lot of people are traveling and they're in a place where they don't have internet service and they still need to be able to reference the material when they're crossing state lines in the back countries of, you know, West Virginia or something, or Kansas. I was in Kansas last weekend. So they need to be able to reference those gun laws. And so the book became a necessity dictated by the customers. And we released the first issue in May 2019, so a little over a year ago.
Jacob, is it state lines? Is it county lines? Like, how often can gun laws change as you're, you know, traveling on a highway? I mean, can it literally change every 10 minutes if you're crossing into different counties?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So probably the key to answering this question is understanding the concept of a firearm preemption law. So firearm preemption law is the term we use to refer to a state statute that effectively prevents local jurisdictions like cities and counties from passing additional incremental laws that cause them to have differing gun laws than the rest of the state. And so some states have a firearm preemption law in place. For example, you guys are in Missouri. In Missouri, there is a preemption statute in place. The only thing that's excluded is open carry. So a local jurisdiction in Missouri can regulate open carry, but the city of St. Louis cannot regulate anything else related to guns because there's a state statute that says they can't. So for the most part, the majority of states have firearm preemption laws in place that generally create what is mostly a uniform set of gun laws for an entire state. That's not always the case. Some famous examples that I'll point out that most people are probably aware of are places like Chicago. Chicago has enormous variance in gun laws from the rest of the state of Illinois. Yeah. And New York City would be another one. All the major, I think there's seven counties in the city of New York. So all of those also have some massive variance in gun laws from the rest of the state of New York. So there are some states where there is no preemption law, or preemption laws are effectively discounted or you know, not observed. But for the most part, state laws are pretty uniform.
Jacob Paulson is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and it's shows like ours here in the Midwest on two different radio stations to get the word out about these things, about Second Amendment and what laws are changing, what they're trying to change. And on your website, you also have podcasts. So I think we're part of the same team. You've got the Concealed Carry podcast, the Firearm Trainings, Trainers podcast, Off-Duty, On-Duty podcast, which I think is intriguing. And the other one I like is Not Your Average Gun Girls podcast. Probably something for everybody, but your website is very thorough with information. And again, I mentioned the video. So much I learned, and I've been around firearms all my life. So hats off to you guys for doing a great job. You said you've been around over a decade. Were you at the beginning of this this project, concealedcarry.com?
Yep. I'm the founder. So I've been here since day one. And initially, we were just a training organization. We had a number of instructors across varying states. And today, that's part of our business is about 50 instructors strong in about 25 states. But we've evolved considerably. In 2015, we added the e-commerce part of our business. We started selling product. Today, we now warehouse and ship about 600 products that people can order on our website. And then in 2016, we really launched the media portion of our business, which is probably what we're most known for. You know, it's the podcast that you mentioned, the YouTube channel, all the video content and the articles and all that kind of stuff.
All great.
Jacob,
all great stuff.
I can't help but ask you the political question and, you know, in a polarized election season that we're in right now. How important is it for people to have the knowledge of what different candidates might think about Second Amendment rights and the changes they may make to them? How important is it to get out there and vote to make sure that you support your, you know, to keep your Second Amendment rights?
Yeah, you need to vote. You better vote. I think that there's some misinformation out there, generally speaking, by the populace relative to what the president can do to affect gun rights. Mm. In some ways, we're wrong in some things we say, and we're right in other things we say. But a really kind of timely example is the passing of a recent Supreme Court justice, right? So the next president's going to put in another Supreme Court justice. In the 4 years Trump has been in office, he's appointed the same number of justices to the same Supreme Court as Obama did in his 8 years in office. So there's enormous impact on the Second Amendment rights by being president, primarily through what you do with the Supreme Court. The major inroads, the major progress we've made relative to the way the Second Amendment is defined and interpreted have come all out of the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, for those who don't know, there's not that many federal gun laws. You have 1934 NFA, you have 1968 Firearm Regulation Act, and you have 1986 Firearm Owner Protection Act. There are basically three federal gun laws on the books. There's not that many. The majority of the things that determine what the Second Amendment does and does not mean come out of the Supreme Court. We have the Heller decision, we have the Heller II decision, we have the McDonald decision, and we have some things that are even more recent than that. So make no mistake, the next president will have significant impact on the Second Amendment because of their control and power to appoint people or nominate people to the Supreme Court.
Jacob, we're almost out of time. I got to remind people to check out the website, concealedcarry.com. The book is Legal Boundaries by State. And real quick, in just about 60 seconds, tell people about the app if that's something that they want to get.
Yeah, you need to download our app. It's free. concealedcarry.com/app, or just go into the App Store or Google Play and search for Concealed Carry. It'll be in the top three results. The full name of the app is Concealed Carry Gun Tools. But the app is free. It has no ads in it. You can access all of our articles, all of our podcasts you can listen to right there in the app. You can access almost all of our legal reference information and material. So most of the information that's in the book we previously discussed is also in the app. Also in the app, of course, you can shop our store, but you can pull up reciprocity maps. You can create customized reciprocity maps. If some of your listeners may have multiple permits, maybe they have their Missouri permit, they also have a Florida or a Virginia or Arizona or Utah permit, you can put all that information. It'll spit out your reciprocity map. And one feature that a lot of people don't know about that's in that app is you can actually search for gun-related businesses near you.
Wow.
So we have now a little over 90,000 businesses in that directory. So it'll pull up your location. It'll say, hey, here are the gun stores, gun ranges, gunsmiths, and gun-free zones near you. And so I think we have now, of those 90,000 businesses in there, there's like 70,000 are gun-free zones, businesses that prohibit guns. So that's quite the resource, all in your pocket for free. So
no,
yeah,
kidding.
Go download that now.
That is tremendous. That is a ton of information. And we appreciate your time, Jacob Paulson. Again, you can get information about the app and the podcasts and the book and everything at concealedcarry.com. Jacob, thanks for your time. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate all you do.
You bet. Thank you. All right, that's going to do it for another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. If you missed anything, don't forget to download our podcast. You can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app. And don't forget to also download this week's podcast exclusive when it comes out on Monday. For our producer, Chad Ellis, and my partner, Beau Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.